Romans chapter 1, verse 16. Father, bless your word that we're about to study. In Jesus' name, amen. Romans 1, verse 16. The Bible says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first, and also for the Greek." We don't have the power to save ourselves from hell, which is why we need God's power. Only the power of God can deliver us from His holy justice, which condemns us because of our sin. The death of Jesus paid for our sins. Salvation is a gift given to all who will repent and receive Christ as Lord and Savior. So when the Bible says that the gospel is the power of God to salvation, that's exactly what it means, obviously. It also means this. When witnessing to lost souls, just give the facts of the gospel. And the Holy Spirit will convict those who are hungry for truth and bring them to repentance. Just give them the gospel. We don't have to be cute. We don't have to be an expert in every other religion or every cult. We don't have to be eloquent. Just give the facts of the gospel. The facts are these: Jesus lived a sinless life. Jesus died on the cross and paid for our sins. Jesus was raised from the dead 3 days later, proving that he was sinless and that his sacrifice was sufficient. When we receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, our sins are paid for. That is the simple gospel message that is the power of God unto salvation. 17. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, "The just shall live by faith." Nothing less than the righteousness of God applied to our spiritual account can save us. We need the righteousness of God to get into heaven. And the bad news is that none of us are that good. The good news is that Jesus is that good because he's God. And the even better news is that Jesus credits our spiritual accounts with his righteousness when we repent and receive him as Lord and Savior. That's how sinners are saved. That's the only plan he has given us. And there's no need for another because that one works just fine. Verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. God is a sin-hating, sin-punishing God. He wants to show people mercy, and he offers forgiveness to everyone. But if his offer of salvation through Jesus Christ is rejected, then he will do what he must do. He's going to punish. You know, it is one thing to know right from wrong and to confess it when one fails. It is one thing to feel terrible when one sins. But it is something entirely different when a person suppresses the commandment of God because they love their sin. People who do that are digging their own eternal fiery grave. 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. God would punish people. God wouldn't punish people if they were not guilty. Why? Because he's not that kind of a God. He doesn't get kicks from hurting people. In fact, the Bible says that God has no pleasure in the death of the wicked. God has no pleasure in punishing the wicked. It is his justice that compels him to punish those who refuse his offer of mercy through Jesus Christ. He cannot deny himself. 19 and 20, because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. People are born with an inner witness that tells them there is a God who loves right and hates wrong. People are born with an inner witness that tells them they're going to answer to their Creator someday. And that inner witness, as strong as it is, as natural as it is, can be suppressed by willful rejection of God over time. But it was there at one point in all of us. And that's why people are without excuse. It's not there anymore. You've suppressed it willfully. 21. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. If you turn away from the truth about God that you understand, then you will soon accept what is false. It's inevitable. We all have to believe something. You can't believe in nothing. We all have to believe something. So if we don't believe the truth, then we're going to believe a lie in one form or another. And God labels that futile thinking. It is futile. It is empty. It is void of substance, which is why it only leads to that which is bad. What else would it lead to? 22. Professing to be wise, they became fools. Now, some people think that God's word is for simpletons. And those same people, because they think that the word of God is so simplistic, they devise their own body of truth, which is contrary to Scripture, and they call it wisdom. And those are the people that God speaks of here in verse 22 when he says, they claim to be wise, but they have become fools. He is talking about people who at one time understood Holy Scripture, but didn't like what they understood because it condemned the sins that they enjoyed too much to give up. Consequently, rather than giving up the sin, they decided to make up their own truth, which is sort of like hopping on the trolley in Mr. Rogers' neighborhood and fleeing to the land of make-believe, only the consequences of fleeing the Word of God are eternally horrible. And that's what they're going to deal with. And that's what many are dealing with today, because this has been going on for thousands of years. And thousands upon, well, I should say millions upon millions upon millions of people have died living in the land of make-believe because they loved their sin. And they died and they went to hell and they're going to be there forever. Some of these people have been burning in hell for thousands of years. And it's just the beginning. It's never going to end. Because they love their sin so much that they suppress the truth in order to believe a lie. 23. 22 along with it. Professing to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. If you're going to change truth, then you have to change gods also. And of course, whether people realize it or not, changing gods creates a big problem because there's only one God. There's only one real God, and he is the God of truth, the God and Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, the God who has given us the Holy Bible. You walk away from him and you've got nothing. 24. Therefore God also gave them up to uncleanness and the lust of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves. God lets people go their own sinful way if that's what they really want. But I would suggest to you that if you are headed in that direction, that you put the brakes on just as fast as you possibly can, because that is the ultimate punishment. When God says, go ahead, have your own way, then that means his Holy Spirit will no longer strive with you, and you are doomed to hell because you are completely given over to your sinful, soul-damning lusts. 25. Who exchanged the truth of God for the lie, and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. If you do not worship the God of the Bible, then whatever you worship is a lie. And you do worship something. Because if God Almighty doesn't have first place in your life, then someone or something else does. And whatever it is your God. 26. For this reason, God gave them up to vile passions. For even their women exchanged the natural use for that what is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust for one another, men with men, committing what is shameful, and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error which was due. I understand that the United States of America is not a Christian country and never has been. I get that. And so a person can believe in God if they want to. They don't have to. And they can be a Christian or anything else if they want to. Doesn't matter. You're free. And, you know, if people would like to have a homosexual lifestyle, God will let them. But God in his word says that it is indecent, and it is shameful, and it is unnatural. You can choose to believe what you want, but that is what Scripture says, and that is what God says, and no one can change that. You can deny it, but it's not going away. 28. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting. Depravity is rejecting God's word. Debased or depravity is rejecting God's word. And rejecting God's word is moral depravity. It's being debased. Depravity is loving your sin so much that you would dare to say that what God calls good is bad, and what God has called evil is good. And just notice, beginning in verse 29, some of the things that God labels depravity. 29. Being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness, they are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who knowing the right... Well, let's just stop there for a second. That pretty much covers the entire human race. Go back and look at all those things. Everyone at some point has been guilty of one or more of these sins listed in these verses. Now, the good news is that God still loves us, in spite of how depraved we all have been. He loved us enough to become a man and die a horrible death to pay for our sins on the cross. He loves us enough to gladly forgive everything that we have done if we will only repent and confess and receive his Son, Jesus Christ, as our Lord and Savior. He loves us in spite of our depravity.